Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
How would Troy Tulowitzki look in a Diamondback uniform? We'll talk about that today. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. Bob Kraft against Roger Goodell. The cover of the Boston Herald today will drive most of you nuts. I think there's fatigue that's going on in the Brady story, by the way. I think we've reached that point that, okay, got it. But I think Kraft-Goodell, to me, is still really interesting. The Diamondbacks last night did what they were supposed to do. That scored a lot of runs. There was a home run hit last night that still hasn't landed in L.A. I didn't see much of the playoffs. I was asked to be on Horizon last night with Ted Simons. It's a terrific show. It's a news show around Arizona, and Ted's very, very good at it. I worked with Ted back in the day over on the radio side, and he called yesterday and said, do you want to jump on? And we talked about Brady, so I'm going to share that conversation. Somehow I ended up at Pitch Perfect 2 last night. So, yeah, I have a man card deduction against me today. That's the way that it goes. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that great. Tonight is Mad Max. Not going to make that one, unfortunately. I can only go to so many of these movie screenings. And there's some NBA stuff outside of the playoff games last night. John Calipari in New Orleans I want to get to as well. Eric is here with us today, which is great. We'll have Peter King, some sound from him here shortly. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, on the show today. Pedro will join us. Is he in Bristol today, Eric?
He is. He's in lovely Bristol, Connecticut.
He's back. He's finally working. Like, he's our baseball analyst, and he's doing anything but baseball.
He's been doing some baseball tonight.
Is he tonight?
I don't know if he's doing baseball tonight, but I know he has been. I'm assuming he will.
He's not a has-been, but he's there. He might be a has-been. I don't know. Greg Byrne is going to be with us. So here's the thing. In the next week on this show, you're going to have a chance to hear from each one of the four athletic directors within the state. Colleges are graduating this week, last week. So I always do this. It's, okay, how did the year go? And for the most part, they'll say it went great. Very seldom have I done this segment where they've said it's really gone poorly. But when I ask them about what do you need to work on and improve in what sports, that's usually there's some interesting things there. I think with Greg Byrne today, he's had a good year. I think he's had a really good year. So we'll talk with Greg about where things are going at U of A. That'll be in the 11 o'clock hour for a segment or so. That'll be coming up. Let's get you caught up with some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, they have a Rod Stewart tribute that is coming up at the Honda Resort and Casino. They have these tribute bands. It's terrific. The entertainment that they do at the Honda Resort and Casino, it makes for a lot of fun while you're up there. It's not just about putting the money in the slots or playing the games, eating great food and having fun, as we talk about. They have these tribute concerts as well with Rod Stewart, the next one that is coming up. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. You can go to Honda.com for all the information. Honda Resort and Casino. It's simple to get to just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. A nice leisurely drive at this time of the year. The weather is changing. It's supposed to get miserably hot here in the valley or across the state, but not up in Pine Top. That's where you want to get away to. Many of you have your second homes up there, or many of you like to get up there and camp, get to the outdoors. Stay at the casino. Stay at the Honda Resort. And or if you're up there camping out, you can head over to the casino, drop some coins, some dollars into the slots, and have some fun as well. The Honda Resort and Casino, Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Pedro Gomez in about 10 minutes. So I want to start today with a screenshot of what the mood is in Boston. This story of Deflategate, I think, took on a different meaning. Most people, I think, across the country are just done with it. This showed up today with the Boston Herald. Why do they hate us? I don't know, because you win, but yet when you win, there's always some sort of controversy around you. I have to think of our friend Ron Borges, who we had on from the Boston Herald, who said, I'm not waving the flag. And when he saw that headline, I have to think this morning, he's like, you have to be bleeping kidding me. Why do they hate us? Anybody have any ideas? Was the headline today. Well, it's because your program is being questioned, it seems like, at every turn and every corner. You're the was it Tom Brady, Tom Cheater? Have you seen that headline or that billboard, Eric, they had in New York? You heard about that one?
I have, yeah. It was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
Everyone's going to hate, though. So,
well, this year the
and it is, I do think it is a little bit of jealousy. I do.
Well, sure it is. Sure it is. But this year in the AFC East, Buffalo's defense is going to be very good. I think the Jets' defense is going to be very good. I think the Dolphins are becoming interesting if Ryan Tannehill becomes effective. So you look at the teams that the Patriots are going to be facing within their division. That's a pretty good division. I don't think that this is a slam dunk for them. They're just going to roll right through and get back into the postseason as some are making it out to be. Again, last night I did a TV thing on Horizon. I get off the air and my Twitter feed has some people getting after me saying that you are protecting Tom Brady. In my point of view, this isn't the biggest deal on the face of the planet. To me, dragging a woman out of an elevator that you cold cocked and you only give the guy two games is a much bigger deal. Some disagree with me on that. The bigger story is the relationship now between the owner of the Patriots, Bob Kraft, and Roger Goodell. And over the next few months, maybe even the next year, it's been a year where Roger Goodell has been roundly criticized. And don't mistake this. Roger Goodell doesn't report to you. He doesn't report to me. He doesn't report to anybody who writes for a newspaper. They can fire him all they want in print. It doesn't mean a darn thing. The only voices that matter at all, are the owners. And do the owners side with Bob Kraft on this, or do they side with Roger Goodell on this? I asked Peter King, the best in the business, Monday morning quarterback with Sports Illustrated. He was with me on yesterday's show. How would you describe the Kraft-Goodell relationship now?
The Kraft-Goodell relationship has been a very good relationship, but it's also been a relationship of convenience. Both sides, both men, understanding how good they can be for each other. Flagship franchise, winning franchise, with an owner who desperately wants what's best for the league.
Okay. Do you think that Kraft will fight back against Goodell? Asked Peter King this on yesterday's show as well.
You know, I think Kraft believes that Goodell made a terrible mistake. I don't believe that Kraft is going to lead some march to remove Roger Goodell as commissioner. So it's way too early to tell. You know, as I wrote on Twitter last night, I said, look, there's no doubt in my mind that Kraft is considering going rogue, going Al Davis, and taking legal action against the NFL.
Okay. If you look at it from this perspective, are there enough owners that would side with Kraft on this? My humble opinion, I talked to a couple of agents. I haven't talked to any owners. I talked to agents who deal with owners, and they're of the opinion that of the Kraft Goodell, that more owners than not would side with Goodell. That, look, he's got to bring the hammer down, and he's showing his authority. Did he overstep? Was the penalty too harsh? Can Bob Kraft rally enough owners together? And who's really going to replace Roger Goodell? Could you do the baseball model where Bud Selig, who was running the Brewers, also ran the league? Could you go to a Rooney or a Mara or somebody like that, a Jones, a Bidwell, and appoint that person to be the commissioner? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks other than those 32 owners. Do they think that Goodell finally came down on the cheating Patriots because that's what they've done a couple of times here? So that's very interesting to me to see how that plays out. I think Brady will appeal tomorrow and we'll move on from there. Pedro Gomez here in about 5 minutes. On the NBA last night, so I didn't see much of Cleveland-Chicago. I was out. But I did see enough to know that LeBron James is clearly the best player on the planet. You can have Steph Curry as your MVP in the regular season. If it's postseason MVP, it's this guy for what he did last night and throughout the postseason.
LeBron James with 8 on the shot clock is on the far side. He's guarded by Butler. He'll take a contested 3 and cannon. LeBron James had Butler right on top of him. LeBron now has 35 points, and the Cavs lead by 15.
Kyrie Irving's not at 100%. Derrick Rose was okay from what I saw. I have to believe that Cleveland will finish off Chicago, and then I have to believe that Tom Thibodeau will get fired in Chicago, and he'll move on. I heard Lawrence Frank's name and Fred Hoiberg's name. Fred Hoiberg just had some heart surgery, so I don't know if being in the NBA would make sense for him. But Chicago is just not there because they don't have the best player on the face of the planet when he decides he wants to be. Last night, Houston, which I've not been impressed with Houston at all, but last night, James Harden played lights out for the Rockets.
Harden around a Capella pick. Redick on his hip pocket. Comes left. Shoots over Jordan to the elbow. Knocks down the jumper. That's a 21-point game for James Harden. His 11th consecutive playoff game where he scored 20 or more.
Had a triple-double last night, 26, 11, and 10. But the Clippers still lead 3-2. The thing about the Clippers, closing out teams like they did against San Antonio, do the Clippers have enough postseason experience to close out a team like that? Is this going to be easy for them to come back to L.A. and just get it done and finish off Houston? I don't think Houston is an NBA championship team. And then yesterday, Monty Williams gets fired in New Orleans, and John Calipari's name is showing up. What do you know?
As is Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni, sure.
Interesting fit.
Well, look, Calipari, so he'd be back with Anthony Davis.
Yep.
All right. He had Tyreke Evans at Memphis.
Good point.
So he's on that roster as well. Has he done everything in Kentucky? He just keeps doing the one-and-done things. Is sitting at little gyms trying to convince players to show up at Kentucky, is that worn thin? Can New Orleans throw a boatload of money at him? Did Anthony Davis have such a tight relationship with Monty Williams that they just fired after they made the playoffs? Would he just say, I don't care if John Calipari is here, I'm leaving at some point? I don't know, it's New Orleans. He probably is going to leave at some point. You know, would you rather be in New Orleans or be in Los Angeles or, you know, big markets? So, yeah, Mike D'Antoni would be fine. I'd like to see Mike back in the game. He has a fun personality. He has a fun regular season structure to his team. I don't think you're ever going to win a title playing the type of basketball that Mike D'Antoni played, but it's real fun for the 6 months. Pedro Gomez on the other side, all things around Major League Baseball. Mark Trumbo being moved to the number two slot in the Diamondbacks lineup has really been impressive. I've got some numbers on that I want to run by Pedro. And this Troy Tulowitzki story. Here's one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. Tomorrow, he and his agent are meeting in Los Angeles, and he's expected to tell his agent, I want out. I want the Diamondbacks to get in on this. He's looking at the Padres. He's a West Coast guy. Why not the Diamondbacks? I'll talk to Pedro about that next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Pedro Gomez joins us every week. Today in Bristol. Are you doing baseball tonight?
I am all week, Monday through Thursday.
Yeah? What has been your main topic? I've not seen you. No offense, but I haven't seen you.
No. Well, it's baseball tonight, so we just jump all over the league. No main topic per se, just covering
just games, highlights,
events, yeah, but more and news stories. Then yeah. Certainly, there was a news story last night coming out of Denver.
Yeah, I want to get to that. The Tulowitzki. So let's go to the heart of this. Troy Tulowitzki is 30 years of age. He has 5 years left on his contract. The Diamondbacks shortstop has been missing. I mean, Nick Ahmed, the hardest hit that he's had this season is when he ran into the base runner over the weekend in the series. I mean, he's just not been good at all, right? So Tulowitzki is terrific. He's had a hip problem. Let's start with he's meeting with his agent tomorrow, from my understanding. Pick it up from there, Pedro. Why is this happening with Troy Tulowitzki?
Well, his agent obviously wanted it to get out there. And that's the reason that it's out there right now. And, you know, it was reported in the New York Post. And obviously the Yankees don't have Derek Jeter anymore. They do have Didi Gregorius. And the Mets have a shortstop problem. They have a guy that can swing the bat, but they don't have a guy that can catch the ball. So, you know, if you're an agent and you want it out there in New York where two possibilities could land your client, that's what you do. And don't forget that Troy Tulowitzki wears number two because of his admiration for Derek Jeter. So there is that connection as well. But realistically, I think it's more out of frustration. I mean, the Rockies are again appearing like they're just going absolutely nowhere for a fifth consecutive year. And really, when you look at, you know, sometimes you look at a ball club like the Astros the last couple of years and you say, wow, are they ever going to do anything? But there was hope, because you looked at the system and you saw that there were some names on the horizon that could absolutely help.
Right.
And you're seeing some of that now. In Colorado's case, I don't know that those names even exist in the organization. So if you're Troy Tulowitzki and you're a perennial all-star or all-star caliber player, you may not want to spend your whole career losing 95 games a year.
Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes. If you're ranking shortstops, top five, top 10, where do you put Troy Tulowitzki right now?
Boy, there was a time when he was top one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But injuries have definitely kept him off of that type of a list. I would still say top seven or eight. You know, he is 30. And big shortstops, tall shortstops, tend to lose their range a little quicker than the smaller guys. So he's probably heading in the wrong direction when it comes to range. But, boy, that big bat. And if you're a team, you might also say, you know what, we'll take Tulowitzki and we'll put him at third base.
Mm-hmm.
So there's options with a guy like Troy Tulowitzki. And I would say third base is probably in his future. Again, you know, tall shortstops do tend to lose their range quicker. Think of Cal Ripken. Think of Alex Rodriguez. Even think of Derek Jeter, who certainly lost his range later in his career.
Okay, $21 million a year for a 30-year-old. You're the general manager. Do you take him?
Well, it's one of those deals where it'll probably be a sliding scale. The more the Rockies are willing to pay, the more they'll get in return.
Got it.
And the less the Rockies are willing to pay, the less you're going to get in return from another team. So it's one of those things where the Rockies, if in fact this does play out, will have to make a decision on, do we just want to free up money and be able to use it elsewhere, or do we want to try to get something of value in return? And, you know, I know that you're talking about the D-backs. The Rockies, when you look at them, there's a major, major flaw in that franchise. They are last in ERA in the majors. They're last in quality starts. They're last in opponent's batting average. So it's pitching. And I don't know that the Diamondbacks match up with them in terms of, if the Rockies do want to trade him, they're going to want pitching in return, and they're going to want elite-level pitching.
You mean
I don't know that the Diamondbacks match up.
Jeremy Hellickson's not elite? You know, if today's got to be his last start, by the way. I'm done. I am done seeing first inning, we got it all figured out, and these shots of Mike Harkey, who looks like he's delivering in the hospital. He's just doubled over in pain watching this go on. No. So I understand what you're saying about being able to match up with pitching. I think it was the LA Times that the Padres are pursuing Tulowitzki, and he's a West Coast guy. But if you're the Diamondbacks, you have such a hole at short and third base, you at least have to pick up the phone, call, and say, hey, what's it going to be? We're interested in this. We're going to trade you anybody but Archie Bradley. That's it. You know, we'll do anything in terms of pitching.
But see, the Rockies may say, we'll do it, but we want Archie Bradley.
Well, then you don't have a deal then. We'll take you.
Well, exactly. And if you're the Rockies, you're going to want something. Ken Kendrick has shown that he is okay paying money for quality. So I don't think that's the issue. I think the Rockies are going to say, we want something. And you know, if you're the Mets, maybe a Jacob deGrom is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is somebody that you're willing to trade. I don't think Noah Syndergaard would be, but it really depends on how the Mets feel about themselves. See, the Mets are in a plus situation because they have so much pitching. They could actually strike a deal if they wanted to. That's not to say they will, because I don't know that they want to tear apart that great rotation that looks like the best rotation in baseball for the next 5 years. Maybe not this year right away, but certainly going forward. But they have the pieces that the Rockies would need. The Rockies have to have pitching.
But
it's their first, second, third, and fourth most need.
Okay, one last thing on this. Should the Diamondbacks pick up the phone and call and try to get involved in this?
Well, you should always try, absolutely. There's what is the harm? I mean, it's the old, you know, Wayne Gretzky line about I will never make a shot that I don't take. That's why I shoot so much.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you should absolutely pick up the phone. I just don't think that they have the matchup that the Rockies would want.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst. He joins us here, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. Of course, the Ahwatukee guy. Love having the local angle here. Giancarlo Stanton last night. So we have some video over this. The fourth player to ever hit one out of Dodger Stadium. What was your reaction when you saw this last night?
It was jaw-dropping. And we showed it on Baseball Tonight 7 times during our 10 o'clock show alone, which is a one-hour show. And it literally, my favorite angle is that over the overhead angle coming from like the left field upper bleachers,
yeah,
in the corner there, the one that you see the arc of the ball just going right towards you. That's my favorite view of it. And completely jaw-dropping to see somebody that massive do it in a game, because it's one thing to do it in batting practice.
Sure.
And the ball's coming in at 65 an hour from about 45, 50 feet away. But to do it in a game where the ball is actually moving on you and it's being thrown in the 90, 94 mile an hour range, and to be able to do that, I mean, it just goes to show how incredibly strong Stanton is and how fortunate baseball is that he did not take Pete Carroll's scholarship offer to play tight end at USC.
That's a good point. So he joined Stargell, McGuire, Piazza as ones that have hit it out. What's the longest home run you've ever seen in person?
In a game, I saw Mark McGuire in 1993, I want to say, at the Kingdome, hit one off of Randy Johnson that Randy remembers. Because the thing is, Randy had 18 strikeouts in that game for the Mariners. I mean, it was a phenomenal game for Randy. But McGuire hit one in this little pocket of seats that used to be kind of stuck against the wall at the Kingdome in left center field. And it was just, from the moment it hit his bat, we all stopped and just stared at it. Thankfully, it was before Twitter. It was before all of this. So you're actually watching the game.
Yeah.
Which so many beat guys don't do anymore. But I always made it a point and still do. When I'm at a game, I'm watching every pitch. And this is why, because you never know what's going to happen. And McGuire just hit one to the moon. I thought it was going to go through the Kingdome. And if you ever have Randy on, ask him about it. I know he'll remember it.
On the Diamondbacks front, so Mark Trumbo hitting second in the order in the last 5 games, 4 home runs, 2 doubles, 8 RBIs. If you and I had talked in spring, and if I said to you, you know, I think Chip should move Trumbo to the number 2 hole in the lineup, we would not have seen this. What do you make out of Trumbo hitting number 2 and the numbers he's putting up, Pedro?
Well, I mean, the thing is, when you put a guy that high in the lineup, you tend to see more fastballs. And, of course, Mark Trumbo is a fastball-hitting guy. He is absolutely not a traditional number 2-looking hitter. There's no doubt about that. He is a 4 or a 5 type hitter in the lineup. But it goes to show that there's never really the blueprint is never really set in stone. And, hey, kudos to Chip Hale for coming up with it and for implementing it. And, you know, Trumbo is a guy that wants to do well. I've known Mark for years when he first came up with the Angels. And he's a very proud player. He was embarrassed over what happened to him last season, the numbers he put up last season. That is not who he is. He is somebody that is accustomed to delivering. And, maybe it's one of those psychological things where all of a sudden, hey, I'm not in the 4 or 5 hole. I can just relax and I can just hit the ball. I'm not being expected to drive in runners from the number 2 hole. It's just about moving a guy from first to third or myself getting on base. And sometimes all a player needs is to think about not thinking about what he's supposed to do, if that makes any sense.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean by that. Have you seen Ruby De La Rosa? I know you're back there. The Diamondbacks are
coming. Yeah.
De La Rosa, yeah, 24 runs have been given to him in his last 2 outings. But I'm wondering if the Red Sox are missing Ruby De La Rosa right about now, because I've seen Wade Miley's numbers, and they're nothing great back there. So what do you make out of De La Rosa?
Yeah, the Red Sox absolutely miss anybody who is a quality starting pitcher. So, yes, I would say they absolutely miss him. And, a lot of times a change in scenery does wonders. You never know what your message is going to be from a different pitching coach, from playing in a different atmosphere, and Boston is not an easy place to play.
Yeah.
It is, it's a small clubhouse. It's a lot of media. There's a lot of pressure. It's one of the most difficult places to play in all of baseball. When you succeed, there's no better place. But when things aren't going well, there's probably no worse place to play. And, you know, De La Rosa is I don't think he's ever going to be a one or a two. But you know what? If you can get a number three type starter out of him, that there's value in that.
That's a good deal.
Value in that.
Yeah. No, I think that's been a good deal for them.
Without question. Without question.
Before I let you go, so I have Greg Byrne coming on. We're doing an AD from all four of the schools, in-state schools, to wrap up the calendar year of college. So I have to ask Greg Byrne, or do you want me to ask him, how did Gomez get treated down there this year, and why didn't he pitch in more games? Do you want me to stir it up or just leave it alone? Is he good? Or, I mean, I can stir it up with him about him. But.
I know. Hey, he's got the best ERA on the team.
Wow, of course. Love that.
But, you know, he's only got 13 and two-thirds innings. But, hey, that's the life of a freshman. If you're not a superstar freshman, you're going to get anywhere from 4 to 15 innings.
I know.
That's the reality. Now, there's 7 games left. Hopefully he can get up somewhere in the high teens, maybe even reach 20. Who knows? Doubtful. But, you know, he's had a great, great time down there. He loves U of A, and declared a major that I had never heard of.
What is it?
Water Resources and Economics.
Well, he can go to California and get a job in a hurry. That's
well, California, smart. Colorado, Arizona.
No, yeah, everybody's looking for how to save water.
Anywhere in the West, it's the most. The thing with water is it's.
Yes.
It's the best commodity. It's the most valuable commodity on the planet.
Yeah.
More than oil, more than anything else, water is the most valuable commodity on the planet. So, hey, he has a good backup plan. His real major is left-handed pitcher, but, hey, if he's got to pick a major. So, great science school. Tell Greg it's been a wonderful, wonderful year for Rio. He finished his finals yesterday.
Not that you're paying attention as a dad to any of this. I mean, you're just going. You're giving it to us. Eric and I are just kind of sitting back and saying, all right, I'll talk to you next week.
It's been a great experience.
All right, I'll tell.
It's been a great experience. Great.
See you later. Be brilliant, okay?
All right, Brad. Take care.
It's Pedro Gomez, every week, ESPN baseball analyst. Every week I learn more about his son. I got the major this week. Last week I think he said he got in like a third of an inning and something. Eric, is it just too much? Is it over the top every week?
No. Who would have thought when we brought him on today that we get into water conservation?
Water conservation is a major.
What his son is doing.
Guys.
Now that he ended his freshman
there it is.
/academic year.
What I want to know is he didn't know how many pitches he'd thrown. Not that I asked
him.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did.
Right.
But you know what? There's something to be said. How was his first year? He had the best ERA on the team. That's all. You just have to leave it at that.
On the other side, I've talked to you guys about a dilemma I went through yesterday. I was going to get this into the first segment, but I'm going to switch gears about a dilemma that happened with a young man taking his life on the high school level and a high school athlete. I'm going to get into that on the other side. Greg Byrne will join us in about 25 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Briefly, a story that came out yesterday. It was after the show was over. And we do a lot of high school and college here on sports360az.com. And we partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I was really shook up yesterday hearing the story of Marcus Wheeler. Marcus Wheeler was the 2014 State of Arizona High School Division I Cross Country Champion. Champion of cross country this last year. And he passed away of an apparent suicide yesterday on campus at Corona del Sol High School. And I had quite a few people texting me about it. We put up just a little bit about what happened on that. And man, when you think of a high school kid that is so desperate, you look at, well, he won the state title as a cross country champion. And that was something that kind of, I was talking with Eric about it. I was talking with Jared about it this morning before the show and just people around town yesterday. And it was something that really shook people up that high school athletes, people that are, it doesn't matter where you are in your space. You always have to be concerned for your fellow person. It sounds pretty trite, and of course we should be, but you don't know what demons are chasing someone. But it was just a tough, tough deal yesterday. So that was on my mind. I was on Horizon last night with Ted Simons, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, just that I was there. To follow up on it, he wanted to have me on to talk about the dilemma if there is a dilemma, of cheating in sports and Tom Brady, and what do you say to your kids about it, or what is your view of it? And I myself don't think what Tom Brady did is the biggest thing on the face of the earth. I think dragging a woman into an elevator or out of an elevator after you've knocked her out cold and you only get two games for it, and then you have Tom Brady, who in my view was punished because he simply didn't tell everything that's going on by not handing over his cell phone. Okay. Do I think there should have been some sort of punishment? Yeah, I do. I think it was excessive. I really think it's excessive. But what about the whole aspect of what do you tell your kids when someone like Tom Brady, the face of the NFL, a Hall of Famer, in my mind, he'll make it as a first ballot Hall of Famer, but now the discussion of guys that are out there, guys from the Talk of Fame Network, Clark Judge, Ron Borges, Rick Gosling, all three of those guys have been going through that debate. And Rick actually said yesterday he may hold off on him as a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's only 30, 40 guys that sit in the room and decide it. So does this Deflategate thing with Tom Brady, is it to the point where he doesn't make it in as a first ballot Hall of Famer? And beyond that, what do you tell your kids? I've always been one of those that I want my kids to come to me and that I need to be their role model, and their mother needs to be their role model. Okay, but as a father figure, that's where it starts, is with me. I'm fine with them having heroes. I'm fine with them having the posters up in the wall. But I also have to explain to them that those people, just like your dad, are not perfect. And Tom Brady, if my son wanted to be a quarterback, if your son wanted to be a quarterback, are there worse people to point to than Tom Brady? You're not going to point to them and say, do you want to be, lack of a better term, do you want to be Ryan Leaf one day? Do you want to be Philip Rivers? Oh, that's fine in San Diego, but he's not Tom Brady. He hasn't won the hardware. Do you want him to be Ryan Tannehill? Do you want him to fill in any Drew Brees, any name you want? Tom Brady's pretty darn good. Are you ripping down the posters on this? There's actually people, I put this on my Facebook page yesterday, there's people in Boston that are funding the Patriots in a GoFundMe account to pay for this $1 million fine. Now think about that for a minute. This is a multi-million, billion-dollar company, not the Patriots, but the NFL, and fans are saying, we're going to do a GoFundMe site and put 10 bucks in, 20 bucks in, because we're so much of a fan. That's over the top to me. It doesn't seem to me to be over the top if you have this discussion with your child about, hey, Tom Brady made a mistake. Tom Brady cheated, if you want to go that far. But you know what, son, daughter, if you play sports long enough, you're going to have calls that go against you, and you're going to get away with things on the field that you should have got called for. Many times that I played sports back in the day, I'm going to say, well, I remember when and all that stuff. I fouled guys right and left. I was taught how to get away with plays on the floor. When I saw Charles Barkley play the NBA game, and Charles would do this old trick of he'd lean on guys on the defensive end, and then he'd step back away from them, and they'd almost fall over, and they'd get called for traveling. Very smart play. Some people thought it was cheating. When Michael Jordan took 10 steps and was never called for traveling, how many times was Michael Jordan called for traveling? Not many. But it was Michael Jordan. He got away with it. That's what Ted wanted to talk to me about yesterday, is this whole culture of cheating within sports. We don't draw the lines. Kids move from school to school to school. I don't think that has anything to do with Tom Brady, or is it all part of one that sports has just become so glossed over? You know, this isn't NPR, but as I was going through the conversation with Ted, it's like, the Brady thing's really not that big of a deal. I never saw him with a needle and a pump. There's two guys who are talking about blowing up a ball bigger than a balloon. I don't know, would Brady's texts have shown up on their phones? So I'm not one that's completely wound up about this, and I think that's why some of you are fatigued. I wanted to get that in, though, for a couple of minutes on today's show. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience yesterday was a very, very busy day for me. Early in the morning, meetings. Coming up here to Scottsdale to do the show, I commute a lot of miles every day. I'm close to 100 miles every day when I do business, 42 miles from door to door. And I have to have a hybrid. I have to have a vehicle that I fit in, to have a vehicle that is affordable, that's gas friendly. And when I'm getting 50 to 52, 53 miles to the gallon, if I drive my hybrid correctly, the Ford Fusion hybrid, that's the key. When I drive it correctly, I get great gas mileage. And even if I speed a little bit, it may be down in the 40s, but it's still a heck of a lot better than what most of you are probably driving. I'd consider it, for me, a real luxury. And I'm so happy to be driving the Ford Fusion. How about the vehicle you're driving? Can you say with the conviction that I do? Think about it at Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright. The way they treat you, they're involved with all the sports teams around town and very community-minded as well. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, we're going to circle back on some of the NBA playoff things. Chip Hale talked about Trumbo. The Diamondbacks are interesting. They are. I want to continue that conversation and some other things that are out there too on a busy, busy Wednesday. I'm Brad Sussmann. All right, so the next couple of days, you're going to be hearing an awful lot about the NBA Combine in Chicago. Brad Sussmann with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. You had lunch with Paul Coro yesterday, right, Eric?
Yep. I was out in his neck of the woods in Ahwatukee.
So he's going to Chicago to the Combine.
Today. He's scheduled to join the show tomorrow. Chicago.
TJ McConnell was not asked to go to the Combine initially. Yesterday, he was invited to go to the Combine at the last minute. Doesn't he remind you of Aaron Kraft? When Aaron Kraft was at Ohio State, the way that he plays the game, his style out on the floor general capability, and Aaron Kraft has just bounced around the NBA. I think I saw him in a Bakersfield or something like that, not with the Suns, but playing against them. I would find it hard to believe that TJ McConnell can't find a role. I'm not saying as a starter, but man, he's so smart on the floor, but is he just not that athletic?
It's tough. It's tough because the difference now, a really good college player, even a potential player of the year like McConnell almost was, doesn't translate to the NBA. Like, the NBA is the elite of the elite of the elite. And I'd have to agree with you. I mean, I don't think he's going to make an NBA team. Jahi Carson's not on an NBA roster.
What continent is Jahi on now?
He was playing in Australia the last time I heard.
He left Australia, and I think he went to Kazakhstan, and I'm not making that up.
Okay.
I mean, he was bumping around on a bus somewhere in some small remote part of the world. Nothing against Jahi. I don't like to bury kids, but TJ McConnell ended up his career being much more effective than Jahi did. Jahi was a disappointment at the end. There's no other way to put it.
Tough to compare, though, because one was playing with a bunch of potential future NBA players, and the other was playing for ASU.
No, he was playing for himself, actually.
He was.
I thought, you hold a press conference in the middle of summer and saying you're turning pro next year, you got to build up your stock.
But U of A is right there. They're going to have four players at the Combine. I think there's only one other school that has five.
So it'll be McConnell, Stanley Johnson,
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Brandon Ashley. Yep.
So I think two get drafted, right? Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, so Stanley Johnson will get drafted, and he'll be a top 10, top 15, something like that. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson has holes in his game, though, Eric. I mean, the athletic part of it, you can't deny. But if you want to say, stand there on the elbow, and I'll give you 15 jump shots, you're going to hit six or seven. You're going to chip the paint. Maybe even five of those 15 shots. But he's a terrific player in the open court. He's got to be a system guy.
He's a defender. The right place. I mean, I remember when you had Jay Billis on earlier this year, he said, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson will find a place in the NBA because he can defend multiple positions, and there's places for those guys. But I agree. I mean, his offense is limited would be a good word to describe his offense.
Unless you're an open court guy. So it's like Caleb Tarzewski, I think, made the right decision to go back to the U of A. He's going to get drafted, and he's going to have a 10-year career. He's going to be one of those guys that will just be on the floor, and it doesn't matter what the amount of minutes are for him. He will get those 10 minutes. He'll get those 12 minutes. I'm not sure about Brandon Ashley. I don't know about his foot. I don't know where he is in the next league. He's not a stretch four in the NBA. He's not big enough. Is he a three out on a wing? I don't see where he has that range consistently. Now, that's not to say that he couldn't get better at it, but people want to judge whether somebody was a success out of college by them going to the NBA. Yeah, that's the end game. I get that. But maybe he's a guy that goes and plays down in plays around the world, plays at different places, gets better, gets the minutes. And then you don't see him. Like, I saw Nick Johnson the other night in garbage time for the Rockets. It's fine that he's out on the court. He's not playing a lot. He's living the NBA lifestyle. That's great. I'm happy for Nick. I'm not bashing on Nick. But when these guys get the opportunity, some of them do need to go to Bakersfield. Some of them do need to just go and play, go to Reno and play 30, 40 minutes a game, rather than saying, I'm at the end of the bench on an NBA roster, and I'm going to sit there after practice is over and try shooting 100 jumpers. You know, I think that's probably the best way for them to go. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. So the Combine is coming up. Paul's going to join us tomorrow from there. And that leads me over to the Suns. The Suns, if I were to put an off-season to-do list with them, the first thing is remove Lon Babby, get him out of there. The next thing is get Markieff and Marcus Morris out of here.
It's interesting because I talked to Paul about that a little bit, and I know you're going to ask him tomorrow, so I won't steal all of the thunder. But I asked him, you think the Morris twins are going to be back? And he said, yeah, they're going to be back. And you can probably guess why.
Why?
Their trade value is little to nothing. Okay, they're two talented players with legal problems.
Talented?
Sure.
Talented?
Yeah.
You can win an NBA title with those two guys on your roster.
I didn't say that, but they are talented players.
I want guys I can win titles with.
They are pieces.
Okay,
there's only 10 players or less that are franchise type mega superstars.
No, I understand that. But those pieces, if I have a jigsaw puzzle and I've got two large pieces, that's fine. If I have these little tiny pieces, like itty bitty, itty, 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 itty bitty, that's what they are. I would not have them even near my team at this point. I would not have those two. I would not have PJ Tucker, and I would move them on for various reasons. The way that they've done this thing. So when they go to Chicago, what is it that they're going to be looking for in Chicago? Because, again, they're not going to be drafting in a great spot.
Their usual spot, like 12 or
13. Yeah, I mean, it's
13.
So I want to try to give 10. Fans are going to laugh at this. I want to give you guys hope. There's no hope right now with this thing. There's no hope with this situation. I'm more interested in what the college teams in the state are going to do next year than the pro franchise.
And look at the West. I mean, Oklahoma City is going to be back. Sacramento will be better. So not only are the Suns not even a fringe playoff team.
No.
They're might not even be a top 10 team in the West.
And the Lakers are going to get some guys that'll move
over. Of course.
Over. The Lakers are going to get some guys to move over. That's just how it is. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Take a time out here. Greg Byrne will join us on the other side. Reset what's going on in the middle of your Wednesday. We join you Monday through Friday right here for a couple of hours. We do our thing on Sports360AZ.com. And then when we're done, it's actually 24/7. We have a working website. Things around the college, high school, pros scene around the state that we see. A lot of video things we do, the recruiting roundup, which is a lot of the high school and college football scene. I think fans will really enjoy that if you're just finding us for the first time over on AZ Central Sports. We do our show, but then go check out sports360az.com. It was interesting. I had Pedro Gomez on about 20 minutes ago for his weekly baseball segment. And I mentioned that I was having Greg Byrne on the show today, and I asked Pedro, should I stir it up and, you know, ask the athletic director at the U of A how that Gomez kid has been pitching for the U of A? And he was like, sure, just don't. What did he say? Don't go too hard on that, Eric. Yeah, don't stir it up too much. So Greg Byrne does join us now. As I mentioned, I want to have each one, and I will have each of the four athletic directors on from around the state here in the next week on the show, because it's the end of the college year, and I always do this. Let's wrap it up. What were the highlights? What were the concerns? What are things you're working on? And I guess I have to start with having an ESPN personality son on campus for the baseball team. Has he been any good? I mean, the dad's giving me these numbers, Greg, like he's been terrific for a freshman. So I'm just throwing it at you to start the conversation.
Well, you start me with an easy question. Obviously, Mel Pedro and his son Rio is playing as a left-handed pitcher for us. I got to pull up the stats. I got to be honest. I was at the game Friday night and Sunday night against Washington, And I got to do a little updating on how he's doing for the season, but I'll look it up as soon as I can.
Yeah, lowest ERA on the team is what the dad said. So
is that what he said? Well, dads usually know those things.
Yeah, especially
when you have 500 student athletes at U of A, you do your best to know the stats on all of them. But sometimes I need to be better at it.
All right, so let me throw this idea. That's a good way to transition into this. Wrapping up the year, and I don't care what sport. Don't care what. Athlete, give me a name of somebody that you're in the athletic director's chair. It's like, Brad, this person, it could be football or basketball, it could be the main ones or any. What? Give me an athlete that just jumped off to you as you watch this person this year in Tucson with the U of A.
Well, there's a young woman on our track and field cross country team named Evan Tibet who came to us from Africa. Mm. And she left her village, did not have running water. Did not have electricity, and came here to the U of A to run cross country and track for us. And she told her story this year at our Cats Banquets Award, which is our year-end all student athlete awards ceremony. And she got a standing ovation from everybody in attendance. It was remarkable to hear of her experience, both academically and athletically, here at the U of A. The way she talked about her coaches and the way she will take the experiences that she's had here, and she hopes to go back to Africa to help her home country to from a medical standpoint, from a water standpoint, in a lot of different areas. And so what you sometimes realize when you're outside looking in college athletics is you see the what takes place in football, men's basketball, but we have so many great kids here. And she's just one of many examples who grow from their experience in college athletics and could be more proud of her.
People get cynical about that stuff, but I love it. Greg Byrne with us, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, wrapping up the year. The football season, you look back on it, you've had some time to get away, now you come back to it. I would think that you were very pleased with that. What was the highlight for you of the football season?
Well, obviously, winning the Pac-12 South and doing that in Coach Rodriguez's only third year. We had a lot of success under Coach Stoops, and then we went through a bit of a downtime, and he inherited a program whose roster needed a lot of work, and we needed work in the weight room, we needed work across the board as a program, and to see the progress that has been made in three short years under Coach Rodriguez to see the way our fan base has rallied around our football program, again, is really special. And so, I really do believe this, and I don't think people will say this as a bragging thing. I think we're just getting started. I really think we have a lot of good opportunities for many good times ahead in obviously a very tough conference, and especially the Pac-12 South. Many would argue that we're playing as good a football as anybody in the country, especially in the Pac-12 South. And so, every week you gotta make sure you got your ankles taped and get after it because it's a battle. But the kids have bought in. We've continued to see improvements in recruiting, and I think if we can continue to keep the momentum going, I think a lot of good things can happen in the future.
What's your biggest challenge with football as you wrap up this year?
Well, I think there's two things. I think from a team standpoint, just continue to stay focused on what the task is at hand and get better in this off season. But I think from a program standpoint, we need to continue to reinvest in Arizona Stadium. We obviously have the North End Zone building, which is now called Lowell Stevens, which is as good a building as there is out there in college football. But we can't stop there. We have operational issues and seating issues and restroom and concession issues in the rest of the stadium we need to address. And then we also need to make sure in today's world where student attendance is sometimes tough, and this is across the country, which we have been the opposite of that. Our students have really done a good job of being there and being in force, but making sure that people are coming to the games and not sitting at home and watching it on television. And the impact that the fans have by having a full Arizona Stadium is significant, and we can't lose focus on continuing to push season tickets and ticket sales as well.
Greg Byrne with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. I get a lot of questions, Greg, from U of A fans, not just around the state, from around the country that see our content, and they want to know about the scheduling. non-conference schedule. There still is concern about that. Can you address that for the fans?
Well, we've got a couple of things. One is obviously we play 9 conference games, and we're the only not every conference does that in the Big 5.
Right.
And so we take that into account. The other thing is that we have treated BYU as though they're a Power 5 level competition, and we have 5 games coming up with them in future years. We've added Texas Tech to the schedule. We've added Mississippi State to the schedule, who is number 1 in the country for 5 weeks this year. And so really, and we had actually, being real direct about it, we had actually had some conversations about moving some things around this year for our non-conference schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge was then we found out we were going to play 12 straight weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are or what you're doing, I that was something where we felt we that was all we needed for the year. And part of what we talk about is making sure our fans are there watching the Arizona Wildcats, not who the opponents are on the other side of the field. And I think a lot of our fans very much embrace that. And there's some that are on the fence, so we need to make sure we tell them what a difference they make by being there.
On the basketball front, so you've improved the facility. You have a good run in March Madness. Sean seems like he's weathered the storm of players leaving. That's going to be a constant challenge with the elite athlete that you're bringing in there. But as you look at basketball, your concerns about where the program is, are there any?
Well, sure, of course. I mean, every single day you continue to get better. And the job that Sean has done with our men's basketball program over the 6 seasons that he's been here is remarkable. And I think I probably said this to you before, Brad, I wouldn't want another basketball coach in the country. He cares mm-hmm. about the kids academically, athletically, and socially and what they do. And we're recruiting at a very high level. And there's challenges that come along with that. And so trying to find that right balance on your roster between, hey, when you have an opportunity to have a Stanley Johnson or an Aaron Gordon, you're probably going to take that opportunity knowing they may only be there 1 year. But then making sure you have a mix of kids that can provide the opportunity for senior leadership and junior leadership. And we had good leadership this year from obviously T.J. McConnell and Caleb Tarzewski and some of our older kids that had an opportunity to make a difference there. And so I don't know if anybody knows what that right balance is. I think, you look across the country and some years the chemistry and the dynamics work really well. And some years they with more maybe on heavily on one side and some years they don't. And I think it's important to try to find that right balance, but I don't think it's a magical, there's not a magical potion for it. That's for sure. A
couple other questions with Greg Byrne. We'll let him go. Appreciate the time. How would you describe the rivalry with ASU right now? Is it healthy top to bottom? Is it just teetering? How do you see that? I know you and Ray visit. Are the fans acting appropriately? I keep hearing that from both sides that maybe it's crossed some lines. I think that's part of any rivalry. How do you see it in the athletic director's chair?
Well, Ray and I have a very good relationship. We see each other regularly at our meetings and such and had lunch together, just the two of us before. And I think it's important for he and I to have a good relationship, and I'm guessing he would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the great things about college athletics is the rivalry, and is your rival, and I think it gets people talking 365 days a year. I know they came down here to Tucson for an event, which I don't blame them. If I was them, I'd do the same thing. We obviously were in Phoenix last week and had a great turnout of people. We were at Oso. Right there on Indian School Road, and we had Coach Rodriguez and Coach Miller and a couple of our other coaches, and it was a lot of fun and excitement. And so, I think you need to have fun with it, but you as fans, you need to make sure that you don't cross the lines in what takes place, and that at the end of the day that we're respectful to our visitors when they come here, and that we obviously, I know Ray would want the same thing when we're up there. But, no, we do have fun with it. I think it's good to have a strong rivalry, and I think both departments are trying to do everything they can to have successes, and obviously we want to beat them, and I don't think there's anything wrong with going out there and saying that, because I know they'd say the same thing about us. So I think it's good for college sports in the state of Arizona when the rivalry is going strong.
Last question, I'll let you go. I get a lot of fans that ask me about concerns of the Pac-12 network, the lack of distribution. people not able to see your product, not seeing enough of the football and basketball when they do see the product. Are you concerned in the athletic director's chair where the Pac-12 network is?
I think we've made good progress with the Pac-12 networks. Obviously, distribution is something we have to take a look at. I think all the ADs would say they'd like to make more revenue off of it. Mm-hmm. We are very hopeful that could be there in the future. I think the deal between AT&T and DirecTV, if that acquisition goes through, I think that will help our chances to have DirecTV part of the Pac-12 networks. But obviously, we like the exposure from an Olympic sports standpoint. That's been very good. And at the end of the day, we also need to pay attention to what the Big Ten and the SEC are doing,
right,
and the revenues they're making off of that, because those are conferences, and the schools inside of those conferences are the ones we're competing against. And it's important to stay competitive across the board and to have the same resources. And so that's obviously a focus for us going forward.
I appreciate your candor, because I get a lot of these questions, and when I'm doing speaking stuff around the state, and I don't have the answers, you do. So I appreciate you standing in there on these. And as always, I appreciate your time on the show. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Good.
Thanks for having me and Bear Down.
Good for having Greg Byrne on the show. Ray Anderson will join us on Friday. Next week, Dr. Campos and Mr. Vaught over at GCU and NAU, respectively. All four of the ADs will join us. We're at all four spring football games as well with Sports360AZ.com.